So we're going to be wrapping up, just kind of a wrap up here on the spiritual ecosystem. And Richard, go ahead and click onto the screen. So, you know, the symbiotic relationship of being to knowing and doing, understanding the knowing and being and doing ecosystem for spiritual maturity. Go to the next screen, Richard. So just understand how it all works together. Integration. Spiritual maturity is an ecosystem where knowing, being, and doing are interconnected. Knowledge informs your identity, which in turn shapes your action. Growth. Each aspect supports the other. Deep understanding. Knowing leads to transformation. Being, which is expressed through consistent practice. That's doing. And finally, scriptural foundation. The ecosystem is rooted in the biblical principles, emphasizing liberation, freedom, maturity, growth, and renewal, brand new through Christ. Have to love the ecosystem. Go to the next one, Richard. Psalms 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Such an encouraging and uplifting scripture that reminds us that our delight should be in the Word of God, and that we should meditate on God's Word constantly, day and night, every opportunity we have. And just want to share a couple of thoughts here on the next screen, Richard. So do you take pleasure in the Word of God? Some things for you to ask yourself. Do you take pleasure in the Word of God? The challenging parts. The simple parts,
I'm so sorry.
The thrilling parts, and the disappointing parts, which shows all of his wisdom and promises through his love. Do you make the time to bathe yourself in his word day and night, that you may know him just a little bit more than the day before? Some powerful food for thought there.
That's right.
Some powerful food for thought there. So what do you think about God's word? This is just a question for you now. So what do you think about God's word? You know, all of it. Just not like the part that makes you feel good, mm-hmm. that makes you feel warm, mm-hmm. that the part that aligns with the way you think, you know, like, oh, that size of what I'm thinking. But that makes you say, man, this is a little challenging,
yeah.
you know? Do I find delight in that? What do you think about those different parts of God's word? The challenging part, the simple part, you know, the thrilling part. Oh, man, this part's just disappointing. You know, what do you think about those four different parts in God's word? And that's a question for you guys mm-hmm. to respond to.
Well, my first thought is that there was a time where people only bathed once a week. And so they read the word, God's word every day.
Uh-huh.
But now the roles are reversed. It seems like people barely read the word and they shower at least once a day or twice
a day. Wow. Wow. I didn't think about that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this is just for me, by reading and trying to absorb the whole Word of God as opposed to proof texting, trying to study and find things that'll say what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But when I try to keep it all, when I try to hold the whole thing together, mm-hmm. it helps me to grow, to be more like Jesus. It causes me to change my opinions from things from earlier days in my Christianity.
That's powerful.
I think of Ezekiel when he talks about Son of Man, eat the scroll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, he talks about how it tastes like honey.
Mm.
You know, I delight. I mean, even in the bitter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I tell him, one thing I always tell myself is this is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm in a relationship with him, not for him.
Mm-hmm.
So to be with him, I need to be in connection with him, even if I may not feel it.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm.
things I've learned over the years is that English is a very poor language in which to read the Bible. Because we oversimplify. You know, we use one word for something that the Bible might have three or four or five words that they have all varying degrees. So if, you know, when I'm actually studying, I learn a lot more than just reading. I mean, obviously just reading is good too, but a lot of times you do just don't get the full meaning of what God's trying to convey.
There have been a lot of times when I'm reading something and I'm not sure I'm understanding it properly, and I ask Zuma to read it in Spanish, and because Spanish is a lot closer to Greek. So yeah, I can agree with that, that it's probably not always the best language. Well, it is the best language for me to read it in.
I'm going to ask you, do you understand when she reads it in Spanish, or does she have to translate?
She
okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
A literal translation.
Okay.
It is different.
Okay. Okay. Amen. 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 Rich, go to the next screen. So, Noah, here's some practicals. So, you know, start your day with reflection. We all know about quiet times, but sometimes we fall off the wagon and don't have quiet times. But start your day with reflection. Spend time reading scripture, meditating, or journaling about what you learn. Focus on understanding God's character and promises. Ask questions. When faced with challenges, pause and ask, what does God's truth say about this? Seek wisdom before reacting. Continuous learning. Attend spiritual classes. Listen to faith-based podcasts, or discuss spiritual topics with trusted friends to deepen your knowledge. I think these are all good practicals to help us to know God a lot better. Put them into practice. So we'll go to the next one, Richard. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." A couple of key things here. He says, "To this you were called."
That's right.
You know, when you receive a call, you have a choice to answer or do not answer. And the majority of us in this room have what? Answered the call. And because we've answered the call, guess what? He left us an example for us to follow. Go to the next one, Richard. Let's talk about being. Were you called to stay the same when you said that Jesus is Lord?
No.
But sometimes our old self tends to show up, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it shows up more when you get older. For some reason, we think we know some things or we know better. And the old self that shows up, and we forget all that zeal we had when we came out the ward, and it was like, I'm fresh, I'm brand new, I'm cleansed. I didn't care about knowing anything but Jesus is Lord. But, you know, you get a little older, and all of a sudden you're like, I think I know something. And God tends to like, well, let's revisit this, and let's kind of get you back to where you need to be. You know, Christ has left an example for us to follow. Example is Christ. We have to ask ourselves sometime, when did we take our eyes off of Christ? Or how often do we take our eyes off of Christ when faced with certain circumstances, situations? You know, that example is Christ, but that example is not us. I should no longer identify as me. In my mind, heart, soul, and strength, my goal is to identify as Christ and Christ alone. Mm-hmm. So here's a question for you. And how do I get there on a daily basis to identify as Christ? How do I get there?
first part is that what you said, it's a choice. We were called and we had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to choose every day, multiple times a day, to be like Jesus. We're not going to naturally be like Jesus. It's not natural for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're gonna follow that calling every day, we need to be making those decisions every day.
Amen. I love that. I need to live up to that example of the calling that I answer to. You know, I say, okay, Jesus is gonna be Lord, so I need to make the effort. I love that. Yeah. Any more thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, as for myself, whenever I'm involved in a project, if I start off well,
mm-hmm.
I'll do good for the rest of the project. So I think it's really important just to start the day off spiritual mindset like Amen. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I agree. When you have one of those days, you know, this morning when I woke up at 4:11 and I said, well, I guess I can pray. It was a great prayer time. I prayed for 2 hours. It was exciting. I just sat down and talked to God for 2 hours. It was just amazing and had a lot of energy. But it made my day start off good. And after that, I had some quiet time. I was like, this is an amazing day. And I've only made it through 3 hours, you know. But just like you said, Scott, putting that time in, you know. Because sometimes you can wake up early in the morning, you'd be like, oh, I want to go back to sleep. I'm losing sleep. That's the natural in me. That's what Donald talking about. That's that natural you like. I want to go back and say, why am I up? You know, but I'm like, you know what? Let's make the most of this moment. You're wide awake. Do something with it. Everybody else is asleep. We always look for times to pray when it's quiet. If you pray in the middle of the day, there's activity always going on. Mm-hmm. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, ain't nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, thanks for that.
So, I know that we have other disciples in our lives because it gives us a chance to kind of look up to people a little bit and mm-hmm. learn from them. And sometimes we do need to imitate their example.
Mm-hmm.
But I've caught myself sometimes wanting to be like them,
mm-hmm.
using them as my end goal for imitating
mm-hmm.
Christ. But mm-hmm. in reality, I'm imitating them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take the time to actually sit with them and hear what's going on in their life, you learn, well, they're still not there either,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of cut yourself short a little bit by, well, I'm going to imitate you because you seem like you have it all together and you seem like you're doing all this right.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture really kind of brings you back to, no, you're not trying to imitate
your
mentor or your fellow person who's mm-hmm. helping you. They're helping you imitate Christ.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You remind me of that scripture where Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't
yes.
say, follow my example, you know, as I try to figure it out. But
right.
as I follow Christ, that's when you should see me as an example of worthy of following.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you remind me of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's about seeing something godly in a person and imitating that. When we were up in Boston, we had dinner with a couple that we've known for a very, very long time. And I told him, his name is Tim. I said, Tim, I think about you all the time. And he says, huh? I said, we went on a double date to have dinner at a sister's house. And when dinner was done, you got up and you collected the dishes and you went and washed all the dishes. And I think about that all the time. It was a characteristic like Christ that really grabbed my attention.
Mm.
And so it's something that I try to make sure that I do. But it's just that one characteristic, you know. And not that he doesn't have other godly characteristics, but that one stood out and that one I imitate.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, I think it's...
this question really illustrates the interconnectedness of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we're trying to be more like Christ, we have to know more about him.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were talking about earlier, bathing ourselves in the word, but also the Bible says those who are right do right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do what is righteous. Mm-hmm. And I get excited about when I'm pursuing something in particular. You know, it's not just kind of a general study, but it's like, I need to be like Jesus in this area. Mm-hmm. And then I can dig deep. What was he doing? What part of his example do I need to enhance in my own behavior, in my own understanding? And then that gives me something to really be shooting for, as opposed to a more generic kind of just studying Jesus. And so being conscious and deliberate about what parts of our lives we need to, I mean, we all need all parts, but we can't do it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So throw a dart at any part of your life, and Jesus could probably help it. And so just choosing what aspects you're going to focus on has helped me to be more deep in my pursuit of Jesus and his example.
Amen. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that none of us actually have talked yet. The subject of the verse here is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That Peter's saying, okay, you I know you're suffering, but you need to suffer the way Christ would suffer.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Whether it's embarrassment or somebody did you wrong, do you get angry or do you forgive?
Mm-hmm.
Do you blow up or do you calm down?
Mm-hmm.
It's the way, it's all about the way we suffer.
Oh, yeah.
We're all going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do it?
Yeah. Let's look at some practicals. Rich, go to the next screen. Oh, some practical. Practice presence. Take moments throughout the day to check in with yourself. Am I acting from my true identity in Christ? I don't know if we do that or not. Do I ever check in with myself to see, am I being like Christ? Am I actually my true identity? I don't know if we do that or not. Cultivate character. When you notice impatience, pride, or fear, invite God to transform those areas. Pray for humility that can combat impatience. Pray for compassion that can combat pride. And pray for courage that can combat fear. Embrace your identity. Remind yourself that your worth comes from being a child of God, not from achievements or circumstances.
That's right. Amen.
You know, all of us in here, in one way or other, we base our identities on, look at what I've done and what I've achieved. Or, this is my circumstances. Why is this always happening to me? But that's not the focus. It shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be that I'm a child of God, and I'm worth that. Richard, go to the next one. So let's talk about doing. Two scriptures for this one, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Two powerful scriptures. Two powerful scriptures. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God. You go to your Father in heaven, should say. Sometimes we think the things that we do don't count or don't matter. But the work that we do for the Lord to shine so bright that people should want to praise and give God glory. That's what we have to realize. And so we need to make sure that as disciples we're making every effort to do the things that Jesus did. Even if it involves, as I remember Donald said, even if it involves suffering. You know, like once again, whether it's good times or bad times, or man, I'm suffering. It's, you know, we're doing the work of the Lord so that people can be impacted by that and give God his praise. And Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, I love the word urge, urging us. Because, you know, this life here, you can kind of get comfortable. And why change anything? Life is good. He says, be urgent in view of God's mercy. He says, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, something that's holy, set apart and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Go to the next screen, Richard. So what light do people see when they look at you? You ever think about that? Is it the light of Christ or is it just you? You ever think about that? Because people see us. We have conversations with people and people remember us. And we say, hey, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of the way. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. That stick with people, especially non-believers who are always wanting to question it. So what do people, you know, what light do people see when they look at you? Next one is, the work you do in Christ has the power to inspire others to glorify God. No matter how small, how simple, or how big the work seems to you, that work, it can inspire people to glorify God, the things that you do. Our genuine and appropriate worship is to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God in this world. And finally, the world needs to see us in action. Man, so let's go back to the top. Talk about our light. How important is our light in this world? I'd like to get some thoughts on that. How important is our light?
Your extremely light. Important.
Okay.
I know I had issues with the vision, mm-hmm. with my eyes, mm-hmm. and my eyes guide my way, mm-hmm. and I don't like when I can't see. Mm. And I make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And no one likes making mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think for my own, in my own life, when the thing that first attracted me to Christianity, mm-hmm. was seeing the life of a man. I had known him when we were kids, mm-hmm. and he was worse than me. But I over a couple of years doing independent contracting kind of stuff, I met him in several places, and he was changed. He wasn't talking about the girls. He wasn't oogling them. He didn't smoke or drink or anything like that anymore. And it really impacted me because I saw self-control. And I'd never seen that in any man before. Mm. And it was simply him living like Jesus that made me interested.
Wow, wow.
And also we have to remember, the word says that, you know, we all, before we meet Jesus, are like sheep who are lost without a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So even those in the world who look like they have it all together, you know, mm-hmm. their lives are wonderful, they have all the stuff that we think defines success in the world, those people are lost, mm-hmm. without a shepherd. So having God's light shine through us is important to help draw them,
mm-hmm.
to him, not to us. I mean, mm-hmm. they get to know us as a way of, you know, getting to know Jesus, but it's really, we're trying to point people to him.
Amen. I like that. It's going to take more than words. It's going to take our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We all say that. Wow.
It's the chosen way God's decided to use to reach out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is through a light from us. And if every single Christian decided not only to,
mm-hmm.
then that's it. Like, that's, I mean, God would have, I'm sure God could come up with another way and another plan, but this is his plan that he's chosen, was to do it through each of us. And so it's the only way at this moment in time until God says, okay, I'm going to do it another way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
this is how he's planned for the rest of the world to find out about him.
Amen.
And to meet him, is through us and through our light.
Amen.
You know, I also think about ourselves. How do you see Christ in me? How do I see Christ in you? You know, because you're the one that I'm, let's say, mostly with. You know, I see you guys twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
The other people, you know, if you're working, the people see you every day. Do they see, hear Christ in you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we take instruction from one another? As an example, yesterday, my sister was trying to help me back out of her property, and I was going the wrong way, and she was trying to direct me, and I, for whatever reason, no, I don't know why, I had a hard time listening to being told what to do. Bottom line, I hate being cheated.
Behave, y'all. Behave.
She
just wanted to test the limits of her car. That's
and she was trying to help me, and then she came up to the window and she goes, "Zuma, you are not listening. You're not taking directions. Something you're not afraid." And I say, "Yeah, my husband told me the same thing. I really have to tell him that he's right."
This is the first time hearing of
it. And I'm sitting here thinking, should I say it now? And what if I haven't told them?
Well, there you go.
But here we are, right? But the thing was, yeah, my character is, I hate being told what to do. Mm-hmm. Especially when I'm doing it wrong. But, you know, it was one of those things that it's like, well, she's trying to help me. Okay. And so I'm like, gather yourself. And then she went back and she's, and I follow her.
And it was perfect. It was perfect.
And then she was telling me, I didn't want you to be, you know, to go into this ditch.
Again?
It made, it made perfect sense. But, you know, again, I was listening, you know, and naturally we do have our own self to fight with.
Mm-hmm.
As far as listen and do what you're being told to do. So thank you, Wendy. Thank you, honey.
I do know one thing is that I grew up Baptist, and then I walked away from it completely. And then when I like came back to church, it was in this type of church.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally saw like the meaning of like Jesus' love and everything. Like, I didn't quite understood like one of the why's, like I barely know people and they're treating me like I'm family.
Mm-hmm. 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 I love just hearing both of your stories, yours and Zuma and Winnie yesterday. That's that second point. The work you do in Christ has the power to inspire others to glorify God. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear, you know, praising God in that. Amen. Wow, powerful. Powerful. Go to the next screen, Richard. Let's talk about some practicals. So, live out your faith. Look for opportunities to serve others. Help a neighbor, volunteer, or just simply offer encouragement. Recently, I showed you that about my neighbor next door who... he passed away, and his daughter came home and found him. And so, you know, when I pulled up, I thought the ambulance was at my house because the ambulance lights everywhere. I was like, oh, what's going on? But it was next to a neighbor, and he passed away. And so I sent his daughter and just offered a word of encouragement. She was taking it really hard. Of course she would, you know, because there was nobody there with him when he passed away. So, you know, so there's always opportunity to offer encouragement somehow, some way. Act with integrity. Make choices that reflect God's values, even when it's difficult. And I stress that, even when it's difficult, Because, you know, you can make choices to reflect God's value when everything's going good. There you go. But when it's difficult, man, and that's when it's challenging, you know. That's when the doing is really challenging. Forgive, show kindness, and pursue justice. I think that's so important. Set spiritual goals. Choose one habit to practice regularly, such as gratitude. Maybe that's what you need to practice. Generosity. Maybe that's your thing. Or prayer. And track your progress to see how you're doing. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Scott.
I'd just like to ask, does anybody have any spiritual goals at all that they are thinking about doing or have done? Or?
That's a good question.
Well, I've always kind of thought, what is a spiritual goal?
Mm-hmm.
But I have one.
Okay.
Here?
Yeah.
So I was in Australia, and my son and I were talking about things that I do that I want to overcome, and it's sometimes I could do almost, it's like false humility, where I kind of like put myself down a little bit, you know, and I think that that's not a good thing to do. So, and I have a habit of doing, oh, I'm just so stupid, stuff like that, you know. And so I did it a couple of times in front of my son after saying, you know, I'm working on this, and he corrected me. So that's like, to me, it's a really important spiritual goal, not to reflect what God thinks of me, not what I think of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's encouraging. Wow. Kids are amazing. They will call you out.
Yeah.
Amen.
They will call you out. Yeah. Amen. Rich, go to the next screen, please. Yeah. So at the end of each day, we need to reflect. What did I learn from Christ? Talks about knowing. At the end of each day, what did you learn from Christ? How did I grow to be more like Christ and less like me? You know, sometimes hard, I think, once again, as we get older, to let go of us, or maybe we want to go back and get the old us, but there's no benefit in, you know, going back to get the old us or carrying the old us with us, you know. What did I do like Christ today in my life? That's something to think about every day. What did I do like in my life? Christ and Christ alone is the focus and shall always be the focus. Knowing Christ gives us an opportunity to be like Christ. Mm-hmm. Being like Christ creates an opportunity for us to do like Christ. And doing like Christ gives this world an opportunity to hear and see what a Christ-like life looks like.
Yeah.
So let's know, let's be, and let's do. Any more thoughts before we pray for communion?
Awesome.
All right.
Great message, really great challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to...
A great lesson because it kind of gives us, like you said, some goals and stuff to work towards. Help us to reflect on, you know, what we do need to work on. You know, where we need to strive to be more like Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a very good lesson. Thank you for this. That's why I got there.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a great lesson, but it's a lesson that you have to work and choose every day, all day, to really put it in practice.
Yeah.
It is so much more than the it's a lot more today than it was 40 years ago for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I agree with you. I think it goes to, you know, as we get older, for some reason we get comfortable. And, you know, even me, it's like, you know, you got to have that same joy and excitement when you first came out the water, you know. I felt like it was easier when you came out the water because you felt like, yes, we're going to take the fight. And I feel like the devil said, yeah, buddy, You got a couple of years of being in this thing, you know, so.
Yeah.
But amen. But it's doable, like you say, Donald. It's doable. I agree with you.
And First Corinthians chapter 4, I talked about being imitators of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Even being fools for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
I think, what does a fool of Christ look like?
Mm-hmm.
I think anything we do with fear, we're going to look like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Even though it's going to be scary,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anytime we choose not to participate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
With the world's idea of fun.
Yeah. That's right.
It makes us look foolish.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why we pray for courage.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for courage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Awesome. Well, let's pray for communion.